Welcome to Food Talk for Health, because you really are what you eat. Here is your host, Tonia King.
My guest today is Dr. Joel Fuhrman, and today we're talking about the brand new book, Eat for Life. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Fuhrman. Let's talk about this book compared to Eat to Live. You give us such great ideas about how we can reverse disease, stay healthy, and there's so much involved in being healthy these days.
Well, yes, I know. You know, I think that nutritional science over the last 20 years, particularly the last 5 years, has so much corroborative evidence to solidify the diet style that maximizes human longevity. So much so that we're not just talking about a blue zone that can add 8 to 10 years to the standard American diet lifespan or American lifespan, but actually can add 20 years to human lifespan. So I'm making this radical claim right now. I'm saying instead of the bell-shaped curve centering around 76 for males and 78 for females, or let's say a little under 80 years old, we can actually push the bell so the average lifespan hits between 95 and 105 years old, around 100 years old, using this, the most modern scientific research. And of course, my 40 years of working as a specialist in nutritional medicine.
Absolutely.
And taking people with serious illnesses and advanced disease and having them recover, make complete recoveries, and then follow it up with a lengthened lifespan from people who used to be sick. And we're talking about, my recent book, Eat for Life, discussing that these people who had serious diseases like very bad heart disease, or even, you know, some people with lymphoma or ovarian cancer, or, you know, we were talking about people who were really seriously ill, making complete recoveries and then living to be over 95 years old after their recoveries from advanced heart disease, after getting rid of their diabetes. So we're talking about the ability to reverse disease, extend human lifespan, enable people the opportunity to reverse rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis and multiple sclerosis and, you know, and diabetes and high blood pressure. And so, and I go into that in the book with, like, at every chapter, I give cases of disease reversal at the beginning and end of each chapter, documenting all the scientific evidence that's accumulated over the last decade to that, the effect of diet to affect you, prevent cancer and to extend human lifespan.
And it all comes down to food as medicine, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's, you know, we're talking here about a nutritarian diet.
And you coined that term, didn't you? Nutritarian?
Yes. I wanted to describe a diet style that maximizes nutrients for humans, highlights the foods with the most powerful anti-cancer effects, and then also looks to identify the suboptimal or misses that could be optimized with the judicious use of supplements to facilitate that ability to live longer with full brain function in later life.
I remember in speaking with you the last time, berries, onions, mushrooms, your whole suggestion of eating those things for keeping us healthy.
Yes, the nutritarian diet uses that acronym GBOMS.
That's what it is.
Yes, which stands for greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds, highlighting those six foods with the most scientifically documented evidence to prevent cancer. So when you use like one food, like you add mushrooms to your diet, you see people who use mushrooms have a dramatic low risk of cancer. For example, even 10 grams of mushrooms a day in one major study showed a 64% lower risk of breast cancer just from the mushrooms, not through anything else. And then, for example, we're talking about 50% reduction from using green cruciferous vegetables and, you know, onions every day, a 50 to 88% reduction in various cancers, depending on the type of cancer. But a nutritarian diet, putting together this dietary portfolio that includes all these different anti-cancer substances in the daily dietary portfolio, has an incredibly powerful effect to allow the body to be cancer resistant. And I'm suggesting and making the claim that cancer is not the inevitable consequence of aging, and it's really the result primarily of the unhealthy lifestyle we live with in the modern world. And we could go back to identifying those factors that create the right environment to replicate in the body and the wrong environment that doesn't let cancer cells replicate in the environment. And we have this opportunity to do this today And so many people, so many thousands of people are call themselves nutritarians or eating this diet, which is, I've been very blessed and so, I'm so grateful for the opportunities I've had to have my television shows on public television, which became one of the most watched and most, what you could say, raised the most money for public television. And, one of the top 10 shows of public television in the decades, in the past, raised over $70 million for public television. That represents a huge viewership of
yes.
people watching my nutritional shows on television. So I'm very lucky to have affected positively the lives of so many millions of people across the United States. It's really, I never dreamed I've had such have such opportunities available to me, but I was very lucky to have that opportunity.
We're lucky to have you. I wonder if some people think that it's not possible if they're really sick. Like, what is there a time frame that somebody can actually look forward to maybe reverse some of their illness once they start the nutritarian diet?
Yeah, that is a very difficult question because, look, I've taken care of so many people with advanced conditions and seen them reverse. And I'd say 70% of the people with diabetes get rid of their diabetes even within the first month of doing the program. I have a retreat here in San Diego where people come here for a month or two and they stay with me and they're for me to take them off their medications and get rid of their high blood pressure and diabetes and have them lose weight. It's remarkable how fast they get well. And I've had over the years, so many people with, metastatic breast cancer or even women with ovarian cancer metastasized to the lung and, with fluid in their lung who are now alive 20 years later or 25 years later, which is totally amazing. And I've had women who had lymphoma, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, where the tumors just melted away when they changed their diet. So we've had such incredible results with people with multiple sclerosis and, autoimmune conditions like connective tissue disorder and mixed connective tissue disorder and rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. But of course, the question suggests that at some point disease can become irreversible, which is true. I mean, obviously people with metastatic pancreatic cancer or cancers get more advanced, they become more calcitrant and more difficult to, more serious life-threatening diseases. So at some point in the process of disease, it's going to be impossible, too late to reverse it. But it's hard to put your finger on that process, on where that spot is when disease is no longer, because you're still going to probably extend lifespan, even if you don't totally reverse the issue when a person adopts nutritional excellence. And sometimes I have people with very advanced cancers come to me and I say to the family, it's better that we love, that this person enjoys their remaining years in the way that gives them the most peace, the most love in their life, less suffering. And we don't, give them false hope that by changing their diet or adopting such a rigorous nutritional program, it's going to cure their cancer. But a lot of the people say, I don't care I know you can't give me a guarantee, but it will make me emotionally feel better and the family feel better if I follow the program and see if I can try to do the best that I can. And I'd rather just, do it than just give up. And I say, okay, so nothing where we in that gray area or area where you think it's not going to help because it's too late. Many people still choose to follow that, adapt super healthy eating as a means of feeling some control over their life and the possibility of living longer. And
Which
you never know.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Now we're talking a whole foods plant-based diet, right?
Yes. We're talking a nutritarian diet, which is a type of whole foods plant-based diet. And then we can talk about what does the word plant-based mean? I don't know what that means in particular. It's a vague term. Mm-hmm. Does that mean, 95% plants, 90% plants, or seven? The American diet is plant-based because that's already about 70% of calories from plants,
right,
even though it's mostly processed and junk food. So we don't know what plant-based means. That's why I developed the term nutritarian to be more specific. And yes, you can do a nutritarian diet with a diet that's 100% vegan. And also you can do one that a person occasionally eats a small amount of animal products, like around 5% or less. You can still be considered a nutritarian. So a person could use an animal product as a condiment or a special occasion thing. But predominantly they're not only eating plants, but they're eating these plants that when possible organic and also paying attention to completeness. And the, you could say, the lack of certain nutrients in a total plant-based diets, that these certain nutrients that are more easily achieved when you include animal products in the diet. So those things are supplemented conservatively. We're talking about predominantly B12, zinc, and DHA are the three most important, but there's probably six in general when you include iodine, K2, vitamin D, which vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin. You don't need to be, you're not getting it from animal products anyway, but still a lot of people aren't getting the optimized vitamin D level. But most critical to this plant-based way of thinking is that we're trying to optimize these bioactive compounds or phytochemicals that slow aging, activate immune function, and prevent cancer, while at the same time maintaining an optimized omega-3 index, which is linked to the size of the brain with aging, whereas higher numbers, we're saying above 5 or above 6, are linked to maintenance of brain size, whereas lower numbers, 1, 2, 3, even 4, could be linked to more shrinkage of the brain, which we're looking to obviously retard or prevent that, because it wouldn't matter that much if a person is going to die at the age of 75 to 80 years old, like most Americans do. But if you're really going to live to be 95 to 105 or 98 years old, you don't want to spend the last 10 years of your life between 90 years old and 100 without your full mental faculties. So we want to pay careful attention to maintaining this omega-3 level, omega-3 index favorable. So when we do live a longer life, we have our full mental faculties in our later years. And that's another critical feature of a nutritarian diet, to know your omega-3 index, which is a blood test. If you don't know your omega-3 index and you're on a plant-based diet, then you're taking a risk with your later life neurologic health.
So omega-3s makes me think of salmon and seafood and whatnot. Seafood is not part of the nutritarian diet, right?
Well, we're very careful with the use of animal products. If a person is using them, they're using them in very small amounts, not to be able to glean sufficient nutrients from, from as a major contributor to the diet. The problem with the seafood and why we're not recommending seafood be a major, rather you're using a supplement, like an algae-based supplement, is because there's for a few reasons. Number one, there's dumping of plastics in the ocean at the, we're talking about, thousands of tons an hour off coastal waterways, and you have it turns into microplastic particles that get ingested by seafood. And the average, those things are carcinogenic. And the average American is carrying around a credit card amount of plastic scattered throughout their body in the form of microplastic. We used to think that the big predatory fish like tuna and swordfish have the most mercury and toxic metals in them, and PCBs, because they eat the smaller fish and concentrate those toxins in their body. But now we know that the smaller fish are full of micro, even sardines. Like when you eat a sardine, you're eating the digestive tract of the fish, which is full with garbage and plastic that you're putting in your body. And so these smaller fish cost off the coastal continental shelves are particularly polluted. Then with agricultural runoff, there's so much algae bloom and algae overgrowth leading to BMAA, a toxic compound that's also in fish that's linked to Parkinson's disease and ALS. But the most ALS cases occur in areas and people who live near lakes, and also with agricultural runoff, but also coastal waterways where people are consuming shellfish and bivalves. Let me say that one more time, that shellfish and bivalves are clams, mussels, scallops, and oysters. And then the shellfish, the lobster and the crab, and the bivalves, the clams and the oysters and the mussels, can have 50 times the amount of BMAA compared to deep water fish, because the toxins from the algae settles down, and these are bottom feeders. So we're talking about the foods that used to be considered a reasonable supplement to the human diet, with the zinc and DHA and excellent foods, are now become some of the most toxic foods that humans consumed, and linked in scientific studies, as linked in scientific studies as a cause of or associated with ALS and other neurologic diseases like the Parkinson's dementia syndrome.
That is definitely something to pay attention to. We're talking with Dr. Joel Fuhrman about the brand new book, Eat for Life. I love the fact that you have some recipes in the back of this book. You want to share one or two with us?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that people will listen to this information and they'll say, oh, that's great, but let me just, I'd rather eat healthfully and enjoy my life more. You know, or I'd rather live a shorter life and get more pleasure from eating. And it's really, it's completely a rationalization that a food that an addict makes, because your taste buds adapt and your taste buds actually get stronger when you don't overly salt it and overly sweeten it and are not used to eating so much sweets. Your taste buds first taste sugar on foods. And the recipes that we've developed and that people can learn in practice and in reality, people like eating this way just as much or more than their old diet. Then you're not getting less pleasure from eating a diet that's making you live longer. You're not getting more pleasure by eating ice cream and French fries and hot dogs and things and bacon that shorten your lifespan. So us nutritarians are enjoying our life more, not less, and we're enjoying our life, be able to maintain our mental and physical capacities in later years, and have more, and be able to have a play span where we can still enjoy physical activities and sports and things in our later years. We don't have to give up living and being active. So yes. The recipes are fantastic and taste delicious, but with the caveat, be able to strengthen your taste muscle and get used to eating this way, because people like what they get used to eating. And sure, temporarily, you're going to think your old diet, what you're used to, is going to taste better than this super healthy way of eating. But over time, that's going to change and you're going to like this diet just as much or more. You know, so since we're having people eat a salad every day and a lot of vegetable dishes and vegetable woks with onions and mushrooms and snow pea pods and cabbage and, so we want to make good sauces and things, good ways to cook and flavor vegetables, like a Thai curry sauce or salad dressings. So some of my favorite salad dressings, one is such a simple, I just like to peel a navel orange and to mix it with blood orange vinegar, some cashews and hemp seeds, and a little squeeze of lemon to make an orange cashew salad dressing. And then I'll take sesame seeds, the raw unhulled sesame seeds, and I'll toast them in a pan till they start to smoke a little bit to bring out the flavor. And I'll blend some of those toasted sesame seeds in, and I'll leave some on the side to sprinkle on top of the salad. Maybe put some mandarin orange wedges or frozen strawberries sliced in the salad. So I have the salad with actually has like a this orange cashew dressing, one of my favorites. But I also love the to make like a marinara type dress sauce with sun-dried tomatoes, the roasted garlic, and usually I'll use almond butter or almonds in there, or lightly toasted almonds in there to bring out the flavor. And then I use black fig vinegar in there. So the black fig vinegar with mixed with the dark to rich tomato sauce. And of course, when you make your own tomato sauce and you cook out the water and thicken it, or you cut up organic dried tomatoes. And you put them in there, non-salted. You just cut them up and put them in. They suck up the water out of the sauce and thicken and make the sauce more flavorful. And you can use the flavoring on dishes. And I love to make the Thai curry sauce on vegetable woks. And on my website at drfurman.com, we make different products that make this easy for people. Like for example, we'll sell a Thai curry sauce already made. You can like just cook some vegetables in water in a wok.
Oh, that's great.
And you can just dump a couple of tablespoons of the Thai curry sauce on top, because you really can't find sauces and dressings and that are convenient that people can buy without salt and without oil and with all sugar and without, with all these stuff added to it. And the only thing we'll use for sweetening is a little date in it. So we use no sugar. So yeah, so I like can travel to a friend's house when I'm going skiing and staying at somebody else's house as a friend of mine. I could bring a of my Thai curry sauce. They can throw some vegetables on a pan or a wok, put it on a
Sounds
plate, and
great.
put some of the sauce on top, and it just makes it taste fantastic when you have a great sauce, you know?
Yeah, that's really good. The vinegars sound interesting. I've never even heard of blood orange vinegar. That sounds
Yeah, that's
great.
sort of thing. So we've made this gourmet, and I actually, obviously I'm selling the products to make it easy for people to do it. So they can buy the sauces and some soups, and it's like a ketchup made with no salt or oil or sugar in it. So we have the so we make it easy for people to live as a nutritarian and still have great tasting things that are great tasting things that make it easy, convenient for you to do this.
Yes. Is there a limit as far as how much you should eat in one sitting? You think, okay, all these great vegetables, can you just load your plate up and feel good about that?
That's very individually determined, like you can imagine. For most, normal sized women, I would say about, the stomach holds like a liter of food. They probably shouldn't be eating more than 500 calories per meal. That's like 1500 calories a day. Is enough to feel satisfied for most people. That's the average calorie consumed in most primitive populations worldwide. But, I always make this joke. I said, we live on half of what we eat, half of what we eat meat, which means that the Americans are consuming like 3000 calories a day. And the reason they're addicted to overconsuming calories, they're habituated to overeating. And if when you're eating all these natural foods like broccoli, onions, and mushrooms, and roasted peppers, and all these things, you're satisfied and feel full when you have even the right amount or lower amounts of calories. Of course, if you're a bigger guy, let's say, what if you're a 6'8", 250-pound basketball player whose job is to be exercising and practicing all day, well, you know, half the day.
Yeah.
They require much more calories. And I used to be on the world team in figure skating. So so in other words, caloric needs are very different from person to person. Some people need more food, and some people may need to eat four meals a day to get those calories in. Some people, you know, who are not physically active and smaller may need to eat only two meals a day. So it's very variable, you know, from person to person. But we want to maintain a low body fat. We want to maintain, for optimal health, we want a male's body fat to be below 15% body fat and a female's to be below 25% body fat. So I'm also stating that there's no such thing as a healthy overweight person. Fat on the body accelerates aging. It releases cytokines and pro-inflammatory compounds. It makes you insulin resistant, which then makes diabetes, ages you even faster. And it also produces more hormones like estrogen and angiogenesis promoters that allow cancer cells to replicate. So it's a myth, and it's a common, you know, people say, oh, I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have diabetes. I'm overweight. I'm healthy. But it's just, you know, it's marketing, and people like to, it's difficult for people to lose weight because they don't know enough about nutrition.
Well, and that's true. That's
and
really
so people,
true.
So they want to make believe that, or they want to, because it's so hard for them to lose weight because they've given wrong information and bad information. So now they just have been taught to just accept the fact that they're overweight because they can't change it. It's a quote disease or something. I don't know what people are thinking, but they think it's genetic or they can't do anything about it. So they just have to be satisfied with being overweight and feel good about themselves being overweight. And I'm saying that's selling that person out. You're not being honest with them. At least give them the honesty that they can make, possibly have the opportunity to make the choice that's going to be best for their happiness, their survival, their longevity, and their health. And I'm saying that people who come to my facility and generally lose between 15 and 25 pounds the first month, they then lose 10 and 15 pounds the second month, and then they continue to lose between 8 to 10 pounds a month until they get to their ideal weight. And then if they stay on the program, they can maintain their ideal weight, and they do maintain their ideal weight for the rest of their life.
Dr. Furman, can someone still work with you without actually coming to San Diego?
Oh, of course. I mean, very few people. Most people who follow a nutritarian diet just read the book, and they can join the website and ask me questions on the website or develop the camaraderie. You know, I put this membership together on my website so people can talk to each other and communicate and get and have a social support system for people following a nutritarian diet. So yes, most people obviously don't have the time or the money to come to my retreat, but for some people, they need to be here. And I've had so many people say, I just needed to get away and be immersed myself in this way of living to be able to change and understand it and do it and leave with the tools to really be able to maintain this easily for the rest of their life. So for some people, it's necessary. And for other people, they can, for most people, obviously, they can do this by learning it. They don't have to really live it. But some people, the more addicted you are, And the more you get rid of your habits and feel you're like being drawn to and you can't give it up, that's the more likely you need to have enforced abstinence and to have a period of time where you're not imbibing in these self-destructive substances. You can imagine like people who are snorting cocaine or drinking alcohol, they need to get away for a few months and get away from that because you lose your attraction and desire for those addictive substances the further you're away from them.
That's so true. We're talking with Dr. Joel Furman. And what is your website?
DrFurman.com, which is DrFurman.com.
Now, I want to ask you, I think you're going to be a part of the 2024 Food Revolution Summit docuseries, aren't you? I thought I read you're one of the people involved.
I'm always part of that because Ocean's a good friend of mine. So whatever he wants me to do, I always participate.
Tell us a little bit about what to expect with that. It sounds like an exciting program coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Ocean, like he interviews the top people in this field, and then he puts it together so people can really understand it and not get confused by different messaging. So I think he's doing a really good job reaching an audience and helping them feel confident and secure food and nutrition. So obviously there are a lot of people, particularly, I've known Ocean and his father for decades, and always been very appreciative of their work, feeling like John, Ocean's father, is such a kind and thoughtful and great person. I felt like he, you know, he was such a good influence on my life as well. You know, their family, such a great influence on my life. I felt, you know, to admire their ethics and morals. And in any case, yeah, I really strongly recommend that.
Now, just another quick mention about supplements, how they are really still important as an addition to our diet, right? Are there certain things on your website that we can learn about what supplements might be best for certain things?
Yes, I have a supplemental advisor, and I have supplements for sale in my store. And the reason I do so, and the reason I've gotten involved with that, is because most supplements contain ingredients that promote cancer. And we're talking here about folic acid and vitamin A as acetyl palmitate and as being the major ingredients that are cancer promoters that are found in more conventional supplements. So even though I'm telling people to avoid, I'm telling them to avoid conventional supplements that contain folic acid, which is a synthetic substance. It's not the same compound as folate found in green vegetables and beans. And so there are certain so even though I'm suggesting that a plant-based diet is going to be extra lifespan beneficial with a little extra zinc, DHA, and B12, I'm also saying that taking folic acid and vitamin A and vitamin E in supplemental form can shorten lifespan and increase risk of cancer. So yes, I'm giving supplemental recommendations to avoid certain supplements and to utilize other supplements. So we're talking about the conservative use of supplementation and doing it smartly with just looking at what's, because when we eat plant foods, the phytic acids or the phytates bind zinc. So even though plant foods contain zinc, the absorption of zinc from plant foods is inhibited by about half. And we know that the ability of the body to absorb zinc goes down with aging, and that borderline levels of zinc or borderline zinc insufficiencies can also be linked to aging of the brain and more immunosenescence related death like pneumonia in later life. So supplementing with zinc, especially as we age, is particularly important. But I'm saying it's equally important not to supplement with other things that people are generally taking in cheap multivitamins. So yes, the supplemental information is another important part of this program to understand these concepts.
It sounds like your website is definitely full of a lot of information that can help a lot of people. We're talking with Dr. Joel Fuhrman. His brand new book, Eat for Life, Eat to Live, did great as well.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Eat to Live is like sold over 3 million copies. It was on the New York Times, I think it was number one in the self-help books on the New York Times bestseller list for over a year. So yeah, that was my most successful book is Eat to Live. That's why we call it the Eat to Live Retreat. But I've written 7 New York Times bestselling books, which is very, you know, very exciting for me to have so many people read my books, obviously.
Yeah.
And a major part of my career has been sitting at my desk writing books, you know, that are very heavily referenced. But now I'm at a part in my life where I'm older and I'm not writing books anymore. So I'm trying to spend more time exercising, skiing, playing tennis, sleeping, hiking, you know,
Well, I always appreciate you giving me some time to chat. Dr. Joel Fuhrman, the website, drfuhrman.com. Thanks again for all of your great information and work and trying to help people stay healthy and get healthy.
Thank you, Tonya. Thanks for the work you're doing, too. This is a lot of fun.
You've been listening to Food Talk for Health with Tonya King. Thanks for joining us. Eat well to be well.